as we continue here on Prophecy Today, there is a national debate going on right now across this nation, school boards trying to determine, will they include what is phrased intelligent design in the curriculum for their science classes? Some universities are involved in this debate as well, and politicos are much involved in this particular debate, intelligent design, evolution, creationism, all of this in one bag. Well, we decided on the broadcast we needed to talk to someone who could give us some better insight on the discussion that's taking place, some definition of some of the phrases being used as well. And the man that can do that, Dr. John Whitcomb. He has taught at the seminary level, at the university level. He has excellent information that he can pass along. We used to use him, in fact, when we started this broadcast. We had a section of it called the Creation Corner, and Dr. Whitcomb would talk with us about those issues involving evolution, creationism, and I guess intelligent design. I'm not sure that phrase was around when we were talking to him, but we have been able to catch up with Dr. John Whitcomb. He's in Indiana. And just before we went on the air, I was talking with him about a special project that he is working on. I thought it would be great to share this with those eavesdropping on our conversation all across the United States as you pick us up on one of the Prophecy Today affiliates somewhere in your area. Dr. Whitcomb, it is great to have you back behind these microphones.
Thank you, Jimmy. It's a privilege to be with you again this morning.
I want to find out from you, if you will, you told me that you're involved in taking all of your lectures, which would be some of the greatest meat that any Christian could get a hold of to listen to, but you're not trying to prepare these for the English-speaking world. Instead, you're doing it for those who live in China. Can you explain what you're doing right now?
Jimmy, in God's mysterious providence, my parents, who were not Christians, were in China for 3 years in the late 1920s in the military. And I was the only child. And I learned to speak Mandarin Chinese fluently. So when I finally came back from China 75 years ago, in 1930, I was speaking fluent Mandarin and very poor English. And I believe that God laid that whole culture and that language group on my heart so that now my desire before God is to put hundreds of our lectures into Mandarin Chinese and have them spoken by an excellent interpreter whom we have available so that they will be on CDs, on discs, to distribute hopefully to Christians, students, pastors throughout the Chinese-speaking world. Appreciate, Jimmy, your interest in praying with me about this great project to reach people, 880 million people who speak Mandarin.
880 million people. That is unbelievable, the outreach that you could have with these lectures spoken in the Mandarin language. Let me ask you this. Now, when we talk about Mandarin, would that be the language used by so many of the home churches across China, the underground church, all of that's going on in the Christian world in the largest nation of the world?
Yes. The vast majority of Chinese people in mainland China speak the official language, which is Mandarin, although there are many additional dialects, of course, in different provinces. But Mandarin is the number one language of the world today. English is number two, with only 350 million people speaking that language. So we are trusting God to help us reach this vast sleeping giant, we might call them, that are ready to listen in a remarkable way, even in the presence of persecution, listening to the word of our God.
What an unbelievable project. Well, you can rest assured those listening in, eavesdropping on this conversation, I'm just telling them they have to start praying for this project. This is an excellent outreach, and we praise the Lord, of course, China having a very significant role in the end times, near the end of the tribulation period. John, I called you. Thank you for giving us this insight into the project you're working on right now. But I called to find out something about intelligent design. design. I mean, that is the discussion. It is in the forefront of debates taking place in the school boards of America, on the college campuses, and even in the media itself. Let me ask you to do this, if you will, sir, please. Give us a simple definition of this term, intelligent design.
Well, Jimmy, it simply means that it is perfectly obvious as we look at the complexities of the universe above us and of the world of living things around us and within us, that nothing could have come into existence by time and chance through evolution. I was a godless evolutionist at Princeton University in the 1940s, and by the mercy of God and His infinite grace, a missionary came to me one night who had served in India and Afghanistan, showed me who Jesus Christ really is, the Savior of the world, and what He did in love upon that cross, confirmed by His resurrection from the dead. And Jimmy, I became a new creation in Christ that night in February 1943, and all things passed away, evolutionism, atheism, materialism, humanism, and all things became new in Christ the Lord. And I discovered, of course, immediately, by the grace of God and the illuminating power of the Holy Spirit through His written word, the Bible,
mm-hmm.
that the whole universe has been designed by God, and the book of Romans chapter 1 insists that we must believe that. Since the creation of the world, and I'm quoting Romans 1:20, His invisible attributes, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, note those words, clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. Things, Jimmy, are so obvious around us and above us and within us as an end product of infinite wisdom and power, not by time and chance, through evolution.
Intelligent design. Well, the next question, I guess, has to be, is there any difference between the terminology intelligent design and the actual act of that and creationism itself?
Yes, there's a tremendous difference, Jimmy, in the different facets of the creationist movement today around the world. Henry Morris and I, back in the 1950s, trusted the Lord to help us to put together a book called The Genesis Flood, which God remarkably has used to launch what we call the modern creation science movement, in which we take Genesis chapters 1 to 11, those controversial chapters on creation, the curse, the flood, the Tower of Babel dispersion, as literal, true history and science. Little did we realize that by the late 1980s, there would be another movement appearing that is also totally against evolution, namely Reasons to Believe. Dr. Hugh Ross and his followers, who believe that it took millions of years for God to create the world, beginning with the Big Bang billions of years ago, that animals were dying long before Adam sinned, that the flood of Noah's day was only limited, regional in extent. We have answered all of those ideas in a remarkable series of studies called After Eden, available on tape. But then we could not believe another movement would appear in the 1980s, Jimmy, called the Intelligent Design Movement, which is also totally opposed to evolution, but disagrees with both the creation science movement and the Reasons to Believe movement of progressive creationism of Dr. Hugh Ross, and states that everything was designed by someone, but we won't ever mention who that someone is. This new movement, which has a number of brilliant scholars, philosophers, scientists, biochemists, is totally opposed to evolutionism and wants at least equal time in the public tax-supported schools to give an alternative to the hopelessly self-contradictory, unscientific ideas called evolutionism and uniformitarianism. The amazing thing about the intelligent design movement, so-called, is that it'll never mention Genesis, the Bible, or Jesus Christ the Lord. They are simply rationalistic in their approach to the evolutionary establishment. Namely, we'll totally discredit that movement by rational scientific arguments alone and never appeal to the Bible, and thus we don't have some kind of a hidden religious agenda, they think. Well, of course, the evolutionists know better.
Mm-hmm.
And they realize that there is some kind of a hidden agenda, namely that there is a personal God that most IDM people believe in, although some, of course, do not. Some IDM people, Jimmy, are atheists, amazingly. They're just simply, we don't know. They're simply saying, we don't know how the universe began, but we know that evolution never was the method, the process by which the world we now know could have appeared.
Mm.
And I just am amazed at this movement, Jimmy, because I feel that intelligent design, as Romans 1 tells us, is absolutely essential, but it is infinitely insufficient.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, God demands that we believe Genesis, that we believe the design of the universe by an infinitely powerful, wise, personal, living God. But in order for people to go to heaven, to have sins forgiven, they must also believe in God's beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ,
mm-hmm.
who told us, and this horrifies me, really, in Luke chapter 9, whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in his glory and the glory of his Father and of the holy angels.
Now, that would actually speak of those individuals who are great proponents of intelligent design, then.
Right. In other words, people who go around talking about intelligent design and very brilliantly, beautiful books, beautiful arguments, lectures, debates, but deliberately ignoring Jesus for fear that they might be maligned, you see, or somehow marginalized or accused of having a hidden religious agenda. Well, there's something infinitely more important than our reputation, and that's our relationship to Jesus Christ, the Savior and Lord of the world. And that's the thing that concerns me, Jimmy, very deeply.
Absolutely. There have been those who would say intelligent design is science. Others say it is not. Is it or is it not science?
Well, of course, it depends. Science is what you actually see
uh-huh.
and observe and measure through a microscope, a telescope, and a laboratory, and so forth. And that is why evolutionism is not science. It's an extrapolation into the infinite past by a faith in uniformitarianism. And, of course, the Apostle Peter warned us against this, didn't he, in his last letter. In the last days, he said, perilous times will come. I mean, scoffers will come and saying in their hearts, where is the promise of his coming? For all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. And they willfully, willingly are ignorant of creation truth and catastrophism through the deluge, the flood of Noah's day. That's Peter's argument. How did he know, Jimmy, that we would come to a day when uniformitarianism, denying creation, denying the flood, would dominate, permeate all the great institutions of higher academic learning, including my own alma mater, Princeton University, and even 40 million plus children in our public tax-supported schools? Not one textbook ever is allowed to mention God, the Bible, or creation. Amazing things that have come about in a so-called Christian country. And we are horrified at this trend and the direction we're going.
Now, but I think you're saying then that, of course, evolution is not a science. It's an absolute theory instead of a science. But intelligent design, is it science, actually?
Well, actually, you can, yes, according to Romans 1, you can clearly see by observation the things that were designed. And, of course, the creation movement recognizes everywhere, as we call it, the fingerprints of God upon the universe. Things could never have come into existence. And, of course, when you look at things with the unaided eye, you can't see the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where faith is demanded by God. But you can see the design of everything. And that forces you, of course, to ask the question, well, where did we come from?
Mm-hmm.
Who created us? And God says, sit down, dear person that's looking at the universe, and let me tell you who it was, how it was, when it was, in what order it happened, and by what manner. Read my special revelation called the Bible.
Amen. Let me ask this, and let's be real practical in this question. Should Christians get behind the movement to have intelligent design included in the school, public school curriculums today?
Well, of course, Jimmy, we're always interested in and supportive of anything that that has to do with truth. We always want to help, support, and promote anything that is true politically and academically and scientifically. But I'm saying that the public school system, as it is now established and structured and designed and controlled and administered, would never, ever be the source of biblical instruction for young people. That responsibility has to start with the home and with the local church, and the church is distinct from the government and distinct from the public school system. So any gains that can be made to bring morality and ethics and scientific, shall we say, integrity, which of course immediately eliminates evolution, is a positive thing that we should be thankful for and supportive of. My point simply is this, Jimmy, that is infinitely insufficient to solve the deepest problems of our children, namely their relationship to God and how the sin problem can be solved that will enable us to go to heaven through the Savior of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ.
So absolutely.
You can't expect, Jimmy, a public school teacher. You will never see a public school teacher giving the whole story,
yes,
of redemption, salvation, as the outcome of and the implication of design.
A couple of quick questions before our time runs out here. Some Christians say creationism and evolution can work hand in hand together. I think that is part of the premise for reasons to believe that type of philosophy. Is it possible for creationism and evolution to work hand in hand?
I would say absolutely not, because evolutionism is destroyed from two directions. Number one, and this is what the ID movement is showing even more clearly than ever, it is completely unscientific. It is contrary to everything we know about the fossil record of the trillions of fossilized creatures that show no progression, you see, with links step by step. Even Darwin said if you can't find those links in the fossil record between the basic types, my theory is wrong. Jimmy, may I make an announcement? Evolution is wrong.
Absolutely. Amen.
And all kinds of things, the design of things, you can't add information to genetic systems to have higher and higher levels evolving. That is completely contrary to the second law of thermodynamics, to the design evidence that we see everywhere. So evolutionism is scientifically impossible. But the final blow to evolution is it is biblically impossible. The only book God ever wrote that Jesus endorsed totally, namely Genesis. He said, if you don't believe what Moses wrote, how do you believe what I say? He wrote of me. He said, not one jot or tittle shall pass from the Torah, the law, till it's all fulfilled. He said, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he told the disciples things concerning himself. Moses says the world was created recently in a distinct order that is the opposite of evolution, in a manner that evolution can't even imagine, namely full-grown people, Adam and Eve, that never even grew up. They were married before they were one day old. Trees created full-grown, just like Jesus, the Creator, showed us when he came to this earth 2,000 years ago, creating an absolutely perfect juice of grapes from mere water instantly, creating a human being right out of a tomb, namely Lazarus, creating thousands of loaves and fishes out of practically nothing. He showed us how the Creator of the world does his work. And so you can see that not only scientifically, but especially biblically, evolutionism is impossible.
Praise the Lord for the Word of God and the truth that it reveals to us. Well, as we conclude our conversation together, as you mentioned just a moment ago, Peter, 2,000 years ago, foresaw this. The Holy Spirit of God breathed into him this would be the way it is. Not only do they deny creationism, not only do they deny the flood, but they deny the return of Jesus Christ, which seemingly could happen at any moment.
Right. Yes. Thank you, Jimmy, and for the opportunity to share some of these important insights from God's Word.
Dr. John Wickham, a very special man, a very special guest for us right here on Prophecy Today with information that is key as this national debate intensifies on the inclusion of intelligent design as a part of the curriculum in the public schools.